or any among you sick, they should call for the elders of the church, have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, let's see what happens in verse 15. If you do this, verse 15 clearly says that, and their prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. So is it possible for you to get healed without a doctor? Absolutely. He's the best doctor in the world. If you offer it in faith, and the Lord will make them well. Who's going to make you well? Do you think he's able to do this? Oh, my lands, is he ever. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Wow. Well, let me tell you, all of us have committed sins. I don't care. Many other places in Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's why we're sick, or we use this in a different way. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So what is the secret for getting healed? Pray in faith and believe and confess sins and believe it's done. I mean, but we go around saying, oh, I hope God heard that prayer. Oh, I sure hurting if he don't show up, I'm going to be, you might as well forget it. He ain't going to show up. You got to believe. I mean, you got to be like Joseph's sister. When Joseph's sister was several years old, she found out she had unforgiveness for somebody and it brought cancer upon her. She goes to the doctor. They check her out. She's got cancer. So she said, okay, thank you. She comes back, goes to the church, tells elders, you got to anoint me with oil and pray over me. And she repented of her unforgiveness toward the person. They prayed for her. And the immediate they did that, she stood up and said, well, praise God, that's done. So let's get back to work. 10 years later, she still ain't had no more cancer. Now, that's the kind of faith the king understands, right? Yeah. He don't understand this. Oh, I sure hope he heard. Maybe. Oh, you think you got healed? Oh, I hope so. Oh, maybe God was listening. No, that ain't gonna move his hand. That's not the kind of faith that moves the king's hand. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. So, are we righteous? Yes. Who made us righteous? The king. That's right. He did it, not you. He did it. Verse 17 and 18. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for the next 3.5 years. Then he prayed for rain, and down it poured. The grass turned green, and the crops began to grow again. Now then, can a righteous man control the weather? Sure. Yeah. I mean, you need to remember, if we are just like him, and he prayed diligently and earnestly, and it didn't rain, and then he did, and it rained, he's trying to tell us, Bill, you and me just like him. We pray in faith, it's done, right? Absolutely. Then he says in verse 19 and 20, my dear brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back again, now, do you ever see a brother or sister wander away from the truth? Oh, my Lord, we probably have all been guilty of it ourselves, haven't we? We have wandered away because of sin. He says, you can be sure that the one who brings that person back will save that sinner from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. So when you see somebody that's sinning, they're living together out of wedlock, or they're stealing out of the coffers in the company they work for, or they're lying regularly, or whatever, and you know they're doing that, somebody said, why don't you go talk to him and tell him about that? Well, that ain't my business. That's his business. No, that man's my brother. He says he's a believer in Jesus. I'm a son of God. He's a son of God. If I don't go tell him what he's doing wrong and he don't listen, guess what what's going to happen to him shortly? He's going to die. He's going to die. Now, if I go to him and say, hey, brother, you've been lying. I know you, every time I see you, you'll tell a lie when the truth would fit better. And he says, okay, Thurman, okay. I repent, and I promise to never tell a lie again. I ask the Lord to forgive me. What happens then? You're forgiven. And so now you don't have to die, right? So now you got to stop lying, though, right? You got to walk in obedience. Is that what the king said right there? Yeah, that's exactly what he says. Now, see, you say, well, don't be like Jonah. Well, I don't like him anyway. I'll just let him keep lying. Maybe he'll die in a few weeks. Is that what Jonah said about them poor people over at Nineveh? Yeah. God says, Jonah, I want you to go over to Nineveh and tell them poor people, 100,000 people over there, and they're all sinning. I want you to go tell them that if they don't stop sinning, in 40 days, I'm going to destroy that city. Oh, Jonah said, I don't like them Ninevites. Praise God. Go ahead and kill them, God. That's not exactly what God had in mind, was it? No. So Jonah just gets on a ship and goes, oh, I ain't going to Nineveh. I'm going this way, the other way. So he gets on that little ship and he heads out across the sea. And God says, Jonah, I told you to go this way and you didn't. So, and the winds just, and the waves, that little boat bouncing on top of the water out there. And then boys out there said, there ain't never been a storm like this. Somebody out here's made God mad. And he's a bunch of heathen. They're smarter than we are, aren't they? They're smarter than we are. Who in the world has made God angry? I mean, you ask Christians in church today, they don't even know that, do they, brother? Here's a bunch of heathens that God's blowing a storm. They said, whoa, somebody's made God mad. And Jonah said, it's me. I'm supposed to be going that way, and I'm going this way with y'all. I said, what do we got to do to please God? Can we throw you overboard and get rid of you? He said, well, that'd probably be a good start. So they said, gladly. They pick him up by the seat of the britches and they throw him out into the sea. And the minute he hits the water, the waves say, whoosh, and it's nice and smooth. And now Jonah's flopping around out there. And all of a sudden God says, you know, Jonah, I told you to go to Nineveh. And so now I'm going to take you. And Jonah opens his eyes and there's a fish with a mouth this big. I can just hear Jonah now as he's going down the gullet of that fish. God, I repent. I'll go to Nineveh. Yeah, I know you're going because I'm going to take you. I told you I'd let you go on your own and you didn't do it. So now then, I'm going to take you. And so Jonah goes down in the belly of that fish and he dies in the belly of that fish. He's dead 3 days and three nights because he disobeyed God. And then that great big old fish swims up right up on the beach. And all these Ninevites are out there swimming in the ocean, having a good time. And all of a sudden they say, ooh, look at that big fish. And he burps. And out comes this stinky. He wasn't wearing a three-piece suit either, was he? This stinky preacher. And the first thing come out of his mouth was reeds around his neck. And his skin's all burned from all the acids in the belly of that fish. He says, God sent me, and he said, repent, or I'm going to destroy this place in 40 days. Now, they haven't seen many people come to Nineveh in that passion, have they? So he walks across that city for three. It took him 3 days to walk across it. Big city, like Dallas. And this is his whole message. Repent, or God's going to destroy this city in 3 days, or 40 days. Repent, or in 40 days, this place is history. He's going to destroy it because of sin. Everybody from the king down got in sackcloth and ashes and repented before God. And what'd God do? He didn't destroy it. He didn't destroy it. He saved it. Jonah didn't like it, but that's the way it happened. Jonah said, God, I knew if I did this, I knew as merciful and kind as you are, I knew you'd save these people. And then, of course, Jonah gave him the experience with the little worm and the plant. The little plant grew up out there in the desert in the heat, and the next morning he woke up, had a big old beautiful shade over him. Oh, Lord, thank you for this big beautiful plant to shade me out there in this heat while I wait to see what you're going to do. And then the next night he sent a worm to eat it, cut it in two. And the next morning he woke up, the vine's all withered. He says, God, my plant died. And the Lord said, oh, you're concerned about this crazy little plant? But you're not concerned about 100,000 people that I was going to kill. You're more concerned about this stupid plant than you are about the lives of these people. So see, Jonah learned something. And then the other day, I don't remember who the person was that was telling me this, but they said, she said, I went over to visit my mother-in-law. And she said, my mother-in-law is the meanest woman on the earth. She said, she always runs me down, talks bad about me and everything else. So she said, my husband wanted me to go over and do something, help his mother do something. So I went over there and I helped her and said, from the minute I got there, she was running me down, saying bad things to me. She was just hateful to me. She said, when the day was over, I went and got in my car. She said, I'm driving down the road. And I said, God, I don't care what happens to me. This is my last trip over here. I am never going back to my mother-in-law's house again as long as I live. She said, "Thurman, I had never heard God's audible voice until right then. And I heard him say, 'Would you like to see what it looks like in the belly of a big fish?'" "No, Lord. I'll go back. I'll go back and talk to her again." Hey, she didn't have to experience it. He got her attention. Isn't that something? I got tickled at Cheryl the other day. She was fussing about her mother. She called her mother and told her she's coming to get her to take her to her hospital doctor's appointment. And so the next day or whatever it was, when she did go over there, her mother, of course she's 87 or 88 or whatever, her mother had already forgotten that Cheryl was coming. She got in her own car and drove herself. So whenever Cheryl got there and there's nobody there, she drives an hour and a half, she called me, she said, That's it. I ain't coming back. My mother no more." When she got home, she walked in. "That's it. I ain't going back." I said, "Honey, how would you like to look, see what it looks like in the belly of a fish?" She said, "Oh, Lord, I'll go. I'll walk in love." Every once in a while, we have to be reminded, don't we, that he's merciful. I mean, I think about what if my sins, or what if Cheryl's sins, what if way back years ago when she sinned that second or third or fourth time or whatever it was, all of us have sinned thousands of times. What if God said, "That's it, Cheryl, five sins, it's over, I'm going to kill you." He could have done that, couldn't he, Tom? But he was merciful. Aren't we glad he was merciful? Because if he wasn't, me and you wouldn't be here today, would we? No, we absolutely would not. He is an awesome, merciful, kind God. Okay, now we're going to go from here to Micah chapter 4, verses 1. We're going to cover as many as we can in Micah chapter 4. In the last days. Do you believe we're living in the last days? Absolutely. In the last days, the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem will become the most important place on earth. Is the Temple Mount right now the most important place on earth? Yeah. People from all over the world will go there to worship. We're not there yet, but we will be very soon. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Israel. There he will teach us his ways so that we may obey him. For in those days the Lord's teaching and his words will go out from Jerusalem."
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, "The Coming of the Lord is Near," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.